Hey gang. Alrighty, welcome back. Episode 9 of Zero Carb Journal. How about that? So I was going to do a live one, but I decided not to because I haven't had any time to figure it all out. And I have had a busy week and a busy day, and I got a lot of things I would like to get to today. And so I'm going to just go ahead and get this done. But today is kind of a big one and a special one, and I may expand on this one more in the future because I feel sort of rushed. I wanted to prepare a little more, but I didn't really have time, and we'll see what happens here. If I get some time to edit, maybe I'll put up some photos and whatnot. But so today is February 9th, Friday morning, and the reason this is a special one is because it's my 1 year carniversary. So it's not today. It was Wednesday, actually. It was the 7th of February, and honestly, you guys, I feel like it's my birthday, or, you know, it really holds a lot of meaning for me, this day, because it's the day I discovered my path to wellness, coming from a place where I was so scared and so sick. So, it meant a lot to me. You know, on Wednesday, I'd been looking forward to it, and I sort of forgot when I woke up, and then kind of a little ways in the day went, oh yeah, it's the 7th. And I didn't do anything special really. But I just felt, you know, I was just really, was aware and appreciative and just so thankful that I found this path and all of you folks and, all the support and the wonderful community and just all the great information. And all of it. So, you know, that's it. So this episode, I just kind of want to wrap up what it has been like, 12 months of zero carb. And, you know, I've covered a lot of stuff in the last 8 episodes just with regards to my whole history. So I'll try not to go over too much of that. But, you know, what I'd like to do is just sort of talk about how I started and what I've learned along the way here. And this will go back over a lot of things I've talked about already, but that's okay. So, yeah. So 1 year ago, I was coming from the specific carbohydrate diet. Now, most of you probably don't know what that is. That's a diet for, you know, autoimmune disease that was really based on the early work. I think of Dr. Haas in the 30s and then Elaine Gottschall in the 70s. Revived it and wrote a great book called Breaking the Vicious Cycle. And now there's a wonderful doctor, Dr. David Susskind in Seattle at Seattle Children's and University of Washington, gastroenterology, who's got another book called Nimble Therapy out. And he's a big believer in the SCD, the specific carbohydrate diet for people with Crohn's and, ulcerative colitis and autoimmune diseases like that. So that diet was basically eliminating all polysaccharides. And so for me, for most of the year prior to this one, just about the whole year, I was just about on it for 12 months, I had been eating meat, nuts, fruit, and homemade yogurt fermented for 24 hours. Now, it was really limiting, and it felt far more restrictive, even though that includes more things than I'm eating now. It felt far more limiting than I'm eating now. And in hindsight, I think it, at least the way I was doing it, it was a very poor diet for my health. And it gave me a lot of progress, and I don't mean to discredit it. It definitely was profound in the effects it had on my Crohn's or ulcerative colitis. I started feeling better right away when I dropped the polysaccharides. And when I went to that protocol, I was feeling far better. But the reason I don't think it was good for my health is because of all the fruit. You know, I was still trying to fuel myself with carbs. I had done keto paleo a few years before, but of course not. I had done that prior to realizing that my guts were so messed up. So I had come to this one as a way to heal my intestines. And so I was back on carbs and fueling myself with carbs. And I was getting pretty much all of that from fruit and nuts, but nuts, you know, pretty low there. So I would get up in the morning. I would freeze my apples from the year before. I had frozen them in the summer, and I had freezers full of apples and pears and plums. And I would get up in the morning and I would boil, well, I would sort of make applesauce, basically, and fruit sauce. And I would use that during the day. And it was delicious. It sounds really weird, but mixed with nuts, like nut butter and meat and a little bit of fruit and yogurt. It sounds crazy, but it was really good. I really enjoyed eating it that way. But the reason it wasn't good for me, I was eating six apples a day or something like that. And, that fructose was building up, was terrible for me. And I know now that that was leading to my signs of metabolic syndrome. I was starting to not be able to beat that gut. And it was fine if I was eating, losing weight, low calories, but I was pretty slim. I wasn't coming from a place of being obese or overweight. And I was trying to, I would stay pretty, maintenance level with my calories, about 1800 to 2000. At that time, I had to count very carefully. But if I went over by like 100 or 200, my gut would just start blowing up. And so I finally got tired of lifting weight, doing my workouts, not lifting weights, but body weight fitness, calisthenics. I got tired of having done being I had done that for 2 years, and every time I tried to bulk, I would just go backwards. I would not get but much stronger, and I would just get heavier and lose, reps in my pull-ups and all that. So I last December and January, I said, I'm gonna bulk. I was looking at my pictures and I was just super skinny, and I was like, I'm gonna do this. I thought I was just scared of it, I thought I was not committing to it and that I just needed to go ahead and let myself get a little overweight. And so I did a bulk for like 6 weeks, and I got to the end of January and I was super sick. I started really losing consciousness a lot, as and my bloody intestines and all that were really starting to come to the forefront. But more than that, I just got this belly that I hated. And I was just a mess all around. So, that was when I really went, whoa, okay, it's not just you're not just not committing to a bulk. There's something wrong here. And that was when I switched to ZC. And so, I instantly started feeling much better, and I had a rough transition. I won't lie about that. I talked about that already. It took me a while to kind of move beyond the early stages. I was following the standard advice. I was trying to eat high fat. I was, eating quite a bit of variety on my zero carb in those days, not really being aware of quite how sensitive I was. And I wasn't very sensitive, so I didn't really know how things were affecting me. And I was eating a lot of salt, which I think is fine. I actually think that's important in the early days. I had bad cramps and continued diarrhea and all of that stuff through those early months. But I had a lot of glimpses of what could happen and how good I could feel. So I just kept going. So through as time went on there, I started to feel better and better and started to be able to listen more and more to my body. And I started to realize these things I've been talking about over the last few weeks, that for me, the best solution is to do it differently than the normal advice. The normal advice, it depends on who you listen to. Eat meat and drink water, I think, is the best advice there is in the early days. And I absolutely concur with the general overall idea of don't count calories, especially when you're starting. Don't worry about your weight, especially when you're starting. Let your body heal, let your hormones come back online, let your natural hunger signals and satiety and all of those things kind of fall back into where they're supposed to be. And that could take a long time. It might, if you've been someone who's been obese in your life and you've been struggling with your weight for, many, many years, you might, have a long path of doing that. And you may or may not see any weight loss progress. This isn't necessarily a weight loss diet. So, that I want to just stress, because I keep talking about how I've been monitoring and managing my weight in these last few weeks, a month and a half, 2 months now. But it's not good advice when you're learning. You don't need to do that, and you don't want to do that. And part of the reason is because you just don't know. The calories are so different in terms of the number. And I don't want to get into CICO and any of that, but I will just say I counted calories carefully for years, and I know that 1,800 calories when I was on a mixed diet was, I would lose weight there, and 2,000 was median of maintaining, but that was a pretty close line, like 2,100, 2,200, and I was a sleuth when it came to that stuff. You know, I was weighing and rinsing everything off and weighing to the ounces and all that with every bite that went in my mouth because I was so sick and so concerned and trying to learn. And I had to be right on the line or I would gain weight. And as soon as I went to zero carb, I started eating an enormous amount. I mean, my body was starving. You know, I was hungry even though I was putting on that abdominal adiposity. So I was eating, I was counting calories in the first few weeks. I made that mistake. That's why I encourage you not to, people not to, you know, I was counting calories. I was trying to do macros and put in, you know, 70% fat. That was making me sick. But what I was finding was that I was eating like 4,000 calories a day and I wasn't gaining weight. So don't, you know, do really trust the process, at least at first. So that went, you know, on, and I eventually got smart and started to cut the fat and stop counting calories. Probably after a month or so, I figured out that I was over that. And, you know, I was tired of it anyways, after years of feeling so limited. So I stopped doing that. Now I continue to weigh myself. I continue to weigh myself and I continue to do that. And that's mostly because I use that as a marker of my illness. And maybe I'll put up a, if I have time, I might put up a screenshot here of an event this summer when I went to visit my parents, and I'll show you why I do that. You know, I went 15 pounds from a big drop to a big spike in the course of 6 days. And so I do like to maintain that record because it's useful to me. But I don't look at the scale as my guide of anything. I look at how I look and how I feel. So just that said, I just wanted to make that clear. Now, moving on into through my year, you know, I kept paying attention. I kept learning. Now I did eat bacon for quite a while and then I dropped it and put it back in and dropped it and put it back in. And sure enough, you know, I've come to realize that really leads to me deteriorating. I start to get edema, you know, bloating, and light inflammation. You know, I don't avoid it entirely. I'll eat it once in a blue moon. If I go out, I might have some, but I can expect probably a little bit of diarrhea later that day and a little bit of edema in the coming days. Usually 2 or 3 or 4 days later, I'll have, my ankles will be swollen. I can see where my socks were, which I'm not, it shouldn't happen, at my, you know, body weight and all that. So, I pretty much avoid that now, and that kind of goes for all pork. I've tried with different stuff. Bacon's definitely worse than other pork, but I don't feel as good when I eat pork, and I don't eat much of it, and it doesn't always make me sick, but it does if I eat a lot of the fat. So I haven't tried poultry yet. I'm really just not interested. I've got a freezer full of chicken legs that I feed to my dogs, but I haven't really had any interest in eating any poultry. And then electrolytes, you know, that's another big one we get a lot. I get a lot of comments on, and people always wonder about. I do feel like electrolytes are important in the transition stage. I don't know why, but I had terrible cramping. I supplemented magnesium and potassium, and I ate a lot of salt. Now, those may have played into each other. Maybe if I tried dropping it then, I might have felt better, but I don't think I would have liked the taste of my meat without salt back then. I liked things really salty. And, you know, the cramps were significant in the early days, and I don't know. So I did supplement with those things. Now, over time, I dropped the magnesium and potassium probably after 6 weeks or 2 months. And then I started playing with salt, and you guys know that story. You know, eventually, just in the last 2 months now, I've dropped salt entirely, and I feel so much better for that. Now, I'm not saying salt is bad, and I'm not saying you shouldn't salt your food. I'm just saying what I've found but through my experiments is I feel better that way. And then cooking the food, you know, I found that I like to render most of the fat out. I prefer the way the food tastes, and I feel far better, and I keep going back and trying ribeye and other, you know, I do like chuck eye steak. I'll enjoy one of those once in a while. I do like chuck steak, but thin. I don't like it thick with all the fat in there. I kind of like to cook it well done and burn it, but I do like those things. But if I eat them regularly or eat them too much day after day, I start to feel ill. I do have a problem with processing fat. Now, I never have stool that looks like pure grease or fat, like with the rainbow in the toilet that I've seen pictures of people who really can't process it. So I'm not sure what's going on there. Might be a gallbladder issue or something like that. My doctor had some ideas. We did some tests, but so far nothing. I'll go back to him in another month here and you know, whatever, it doesn't really matter, you guys, I'm doing awesome. So continuing through the year, you know, I've just continued that path, and the farther I go, the more I realize that's what works for me. Well done. Ground beef is my number one, as you guys know, my meat cookies, and no salt, not much variety. Now, I had a few pieces of salmon this week, and I sure enjoy that, and that doesn't seem to do anything either way. I don't notice any significant improvements. I don't notice any detriment. So I have been solid, you guys, firm stools all week. I told you last week I deviated a little from my protocol and I kind of slipped a little bit backwards, and I am right back on track, and I can't even tell you how happy that makes me, because that makes sort of a long continuous stretch minus those obvious incursions into, you know, a little bit different stuff that took me somewhere else. But I know now, like, my healing is real. I am getting firmer and firmer up by the day, and I'm just so excited to see how good it can get down the road here. So yeah, that's really, really, really rewarding and really pleasing, and as funny as that sounds, but that's a big deal to me. So yeah, ground beef, well done. That is my thing. So I'm gonna stop the camera because it's gonna stop, and I'm gonna restart here in just a second. Okay, I'm back. So yeah, so that's kind of, you know, most of the year in review in terms of the physical aspects. I'm sure I'm forgetting all kinds of things, but you know, I want to talk about a few things. I've gotten some great comments from some of you guys, and I would like to touch on Psychic Outlaw. You made some great comments, and I appreciate that you weren't picking on me. You were just sort of trying to understand, and I get this. I mean, you know, before I started, I thought, well, for one, I thought it was crazy, and I didn't really talk about it for the first few months to anybody for the most part until I really started feeling well. I was sure I was going to switch or go back, and I was just experimenting, you know, for a short time. But more than that, I did a lot of reading, and I did a lot of studying, and I did a lot of you know, trying to crack, you know, what was, you know, the right way to do it, how to optimize my nutrition, how to, you know, how to manage. As I told you, I was micromanaging my calories and macros and supplementing with salt and magnesium and all sorts of things. And those aren't bad things in the early days at all. And I totally get where people come from. And there's also a lot of people doing this in a lot of different ways. You've got the guys eating absolutely raw, only raw, and claiming that that is the optimal nutrition. And then you've got guys who I really respect, like Frank Tufano, who I got a lot out of, and I think he's a wonderful resource, who really study the nutrition side of it and really have a really good handle on what foods have what and where you're going to access these nutrients and the best, you know, bioavailable forms and all that. I think that's all really, really, really good info, and it's all very, very interesting. However, I don't feel like it necessarily applies, and I don't think that it's good to use as a guide for my, I'll just say, my personal path. And I think that in the early days, it led to me making a lot of mistakes that made me more ill and not feeling as well as I could have early on. And the reason is because, you know, you tend to believe the science and you tend to look at the nutrients and go, well, that makes sense. I'm going to need more of this K2 or D3 or whatever it might be. And, you know, now I've kind of come around to the idea that the fact of the matter is that we really don't know anything about that stuff. I mean, sure, we know that those nutrients are in those foods. I don't think Frank is wrong about those things at all. I don't think the science is wrong. But what I do think is not known is how our bodies as carnivores, with the absence of plants entirely, now close doesn't count because there's something that happens with all those plants, even if it's just a little, whether it's the anti-nutrients or whatever. And you can look at the studies that talk about how you know, bran interferes with your absorption of iron by an enormous percent. So a little bit of bran, and now you don't have enough folate. Or a little bit of phytates or whatever they are, and now you don't have enough magnesium. So there's all kinds of anti-nutrients that in plants that interfere with your uptake of D3, that interfere with your, you know, the way you can access magnesium and this and that. So that's why, you know, I don't think that when people look at those studies and they look at the nutrition in the foods and then they say, well, you definitely need a lot of this, I don't think we know that. I don't think we can say that for sure. And I like to look at the Hungarian researchers, Sabatoth, I'm going to say that wrong, even though I'm 50% Hungarian. My parents, my mom grew up speaking Hungarian in a Hungarian household. My grandparents, I believe, were first generation here in this country. And my, anyways, so Sabatoth in Budapest and his partner at the Paleo Medicina, I'm not sure what it's called, but they do great research. And they have research on, you know, northern Russian peoples who live in cold northern climates and eat carnivorously, and their vitamin D is fine. And but other, you know, than the few outlying studies, there really aren't studies on carnivorous folks and what their nutritional needs are. And I maintain that not only is our chemistry so different and our absence of anti-nutrients and, you know, inflammation and whatever else, the whole picture has changed. So just like, you know, everyone would think I would have scurvy by now, but there's no scurvy when you just eat meat, because it's the plants that make the, you know, block the glucose uptake and give you the scurvy. They don't give you the scurvy, but that's what happens. So, you know, that's why I don't put much stock in the nutrition. And the other part of it is that, you know, when you eat just meat, you eat a lot of meat. A lot. I mean, you know, I'm still eating what I think is sort of a light load, and I'm finding myself at like 3 pounds a day. And there's a lot of nutrients in there. And our needs are different. And I do feel like if you overthink it and you go, well, I need 70% fat and I need a lot of variety. You know, I think that's one of the biggest fallacies, is that you need a lot of variety, because I believe that what that actually does is you replace, and this is probably just straight woo coming out of my mouth, and it's my current belief, is that you're replacing the most nutrient dense food in the carnivorous diet, which is, in my opinion, ruminant meat, maybe eggs, maybe fish, but it's probably not poultry, and it's probably not pork. And it's definitely not processed meats. And I really don't think it's just fat. Like, I don't think it's butter, and I don't think it's, you know, lard. I mean, not that those are bad for you. I don't enjoy any butter. I think it makes me sick. I haven't gone back to try it. But if you replace a lot of the potential meat you could be eating with fat because of chasing macros, I believe that you might be shortchanging yourself nutritionally. You know, you can look at all the nutrition and say, I'm going to eat this fat and a little bit of this meat and a little bit of these chicken organs and a little bit of this pork. And I personally, I know I don't feel as well when I was doing that early on. Not that I was doing exactly that, but, and I also believe that we just don't know, and that I think just the all muscle meat diet, you know, has some unknown strengths to it, in the sense that, you know, it's packed with the full spectrum of nutrition that we need. It's got great ratios of fat and protein, and that most people really overthink it. Now, where I got to this was really from my observations on the vets, you know, the people who've been doing it a long time. Bear Owsley Stanley, one of my old heroes when I was a hippie kid, and now one of my new heroes now that I'm a you know, zero carber. He's really the father of this, and he wasn't big on variety. Now Stephenson, you know, another huge hero of mine, going back to the early 1900s with the Inuit, you know, he made it pretty clear in Fat of the Land that he didn't notice that the Inuit ate a whole lot of organ meat. You know, he likes to debunk that idea that tip to tail, you know, nose to tail. And I would argue that that eating ground beef is pretty close to nose to tail, minus, you know, the organs. And so, you know, and then the modern day long-term folks, Charles Washington, Kelly, Williams Hogan, I always get that wrong, maybe I got it right, And Amber O'Hearn, you know, who enjoys liver, and many, many others who I'm going to forget. Dana from Zero Carb Health, and all types of people who we can look to. Oh, the Andersons, you know, one of my biggest inspirations. They just eat ribeye unsalted all day, every day, and I don't think they eat all day, but these people all just have learned over time that overthinking it leads to less optimal health for each of them, and that what works best is just eating meat and drinking water. And I know that sounds so simplistic and so, you know, like, oh, reject everything else, but I don't think it is. I think it really is the way to find what works for you. Eat the meat you like, you can afford, and eventually you'll feel better, you know, as you tune it in. It might be real fatty. You know, Sean Baker eats ribeyes all day. I can't do that. You know, that's too much fat for me. He's found that's what works for him. So yeah, don't overthink it is I guess my advice, or at least what I've learned for me. You might experiment with those things and see what, you know, how that, you know, practice of optimizing for nutrition works for you. It seems to work great for Frank. He looks so healthy. So I'm not picking on that. I'm just saying, take in that information, but trust your body and listen and observe. And really, it's about observing. And, you know, for me, I know, like, listening to Joe Anderson say that for the first year they ate a lot of salt, and then they noticed it was making them, like he says, puffy faced, and they just started, you know, feeling better, and they dropped it after a year. You know, that was really, for me, really interesting, because I learned that, you know, it takes a while, first of all, to adapt, that everyone kind of goes through that. And I think everyone probably overthinks it. You know, they were eating all sorts of different stuff and then living on just pemmican and whatever else. And, you know, I find that really inspiring that we all are going to do that. So I'm not picking on anyone. You're going to overthink it. You just are. It's such a change. You know, it's so dramatic from everything we know and that we believed. But if you can, just try and simplify and learn to trust the process. So yeah, so 1 year zero carb, a journey of self-discovery, a journey of rejecting all the things I used to believe, and you know that's been pretty profound throughout my whole life, because now I'm quite the cynic for better, for worse, and I have a hard time believing in a lot of science nowadays, which makes me sound crazy, but I'm a pretty astute observer, and I feel like I've had fairly good judgment with what to trust and what not to trust, but it just makes me look a little closer at things that maybe aren't so set in stone. So, and as a person who has been very interested in sustainability and growing my own food and what's best for the land, and as you guys know, my fire hobbies, my fire science hobbies, you know, a few years ago when I went to Washington, D.C., chosen by Popular Mechanics and Department of Energy and everyone else as a front runner in this competition for clean burning wood stoves, you know, I was upset, as upset I was at when I learned about zero carb, you know, at the old paradigm, because I was like, are you kidding me? Like, we've been burning wood for, you know, ever, and I have to come up with a better way to do it. Like, we still don't know how to do it. I drive around my neighborhood now and there's smoke coming out of everyone's chimneys but mine. You know, you can't tell when I'm burning my fire from outside. It looks like nothing. If it's cold outside, it looks like a dryer exhaust, and otherwise you just don't see anything. It's crystal clear. So, you know, science was telling me all the time that that was impossible. I just read a solid biomass boiler study. They're running at 25% efficiency. Mine run at like 90% efficiency. And that drives me out of my mind, you know, that the science says that it's impossible. You can talk to all these old wood burners with wood stoves and they'll tell you I'm full of it and it can't be done. And I know now that they're wrong. Like, the science is wrong. And so, you know, I can't get those things into the public domain because of the EPA regulations. The testing protocol is set up for testing a crappy wood stove that burns and makes smoke. So you start it and you heat it up and then you kind of get to where it's clean and then you test it for 8 hours or whatever. You know, my stoves are built to burn and be done in 45 minutes. They don't even fit into the protocol, so they can't be tested. So, I mean, I can test them. I know how good clean they run. Anyways, this is a long ramble going into why, you know, I'm a cynic and a skeptic, and And then in terms of sustainability on my land, you know, I look out there and I can see the animals making the property and the land and the wetlands and the pasture and everything healthier. And I can see all my neighbors' wasted grass, you know, and I can see everyone mowing their lawns. And yet the science is telling me, oh, you can't raise cows without murdering, you know, the earth. And I know that that's not true. I do know we murder the earth to raise cows. I'm going to spin this ring right now and see if I can darken the... We're getting some sun. No, it won't let me do it. Well, you'll have to see me all burned out on the one side. But, you know, I know we're murdering the earth right now because we feed our cows soy. Then we grow it in a horrible way. And we feed vegans soy as well, which is sad because it's all part of the same thing. You know, they use that to make paint and everything else. And that is neither here nor there. Sorry. But our agricultural practices are horrid, and you know, raising corn and soy to feed cows, I think is terrible. There's no reason for that. Some of my fellow zero carbers disagree, but I think we can do better. So at any rate, I eat that terrible meat right now. No, I'm sorry about that too. But anyways, that's all part of my path of being a cynic and the year I've had. And, you know, being zero carb just sort of reinforced that. So, yeah, I'm a crazy person. I feel so woo-woo when I go out. If I talk to my parents, you know, I want to throw away their canola oils and seed oils. And they're reading whatever, telling them that's the right stuff to eat. And they just think I'm bonkers. So, it's really hard, that stuff. It's really hard and it's really sad. So, I mean, I guess it's not sad if I'm wrong. Which I very well could be. I'm wrong a lot. So I don't know. But anyways, I'm a cynic. That's for dang sure. Yeah, so that's my year. Cynical. Growth. Learning. Good stuff all the way around. Look at this. You guys are going to be such an awesome day. Sun's coming up. I've had a great week. I'll just wrap this up, I guess, with a wonderful week of work. I've had a lot of desk work. Did some work at the boat shop in the engineering office. And I've had a lot of great successes. My workouts have been awesome. I'm feeling super good. My food has been, you know, delicious as always. And, I'm finally kind of digging myself out of, you know, when I was sick, you know, I got myself in a financial hole to build this shack and get everything, you know, going down at the big house. But I've got good renters in there now as of last week. And yeah, I'm finally kind of coming out of my financial hole. I dug myself building this little shack and making this big change. And I can't wait. You know, I'm going to try and dig myself all the way out. And then I can't wait for the next step because I'm finally going to be one of my biggest goals other than my health. My number two goal has always been self-sufficient financial sustainability here at home. And that was, you know, a function of all of these irons I have in the fire selling. Camera quit again. So one of my main goals, you know, other than my health for the last few years has been self-sufficient financial sustainability here at home. And, you know, with all my pokers in the fire now, you know, selling stove plans that came online this year, renting out the house finalized just in the last few weeks, really. Continuing to sell off all my old surplus and getting back to boat work. All of these things, you know, there's some other there's some other things I'm forgetting, but little odds and ends that I do that bring in income. These things are all starting to dovetail into being a nice network of both passive and non-passive incomes for me. And I'm going to get myself out of this hole and maybe I'll be able to travel. I don't want to travel far, but it'd be nice to be able to go farther than 30 miles past Squim there. I've just got a little electric car. I got a little Nissan Leaf. So I don't go very far. I haven't been anywhere for years and I'm looking forward to changing that. So, yeah, that's my week. That's my year. I might put up some before and after photos of my gut. We'll see if I get brave enough. One year ago, I hated the way I looked, even though I'd been working out. It was because of that fructose for a year. So, I'll get some photos up of that maybe, and maybe not. I'm usually too lazy to do any editing once I get done with this part of it. I just want to get it online. So we'll see how that goes. And I will try and work on a live one. I'd like to interact with you guys some more. And again, I just want to reiterate all of my thanks for all of you folks. I feel so blessed. I feel so fortunate to have had the courage to start this, to have had the courage to share, you know, really all of me. That's something I think I've struggled with for my whole life. I've always kind of had a mask that I put on in my old sales job, and I was mostly like this, but I would just keep, you know, well, the diarrhea and my illness and, you know, a lot of that romantic history and all that stuff, you know, I'd keep that to myself because I hadn't accepted myself, I guess. And so you guys and all your support have made a huge difference for me. I think I can tell I'm just much more confident and comfortable in my own skin, which is funny. I'm almost 50, right? To just get there now. But I guess we're hopefully always growing and always on this path. And but you guys have been a big part of that. Everyone who watches this and everyone who comments and everyone who subscribes. Boy, I'm really getting burned out. You're going to get half my face here. It's beautiful out there. So yeah, thank you guys. Thank all of you guys and gals. Thank everyone. Single one of you, and I hope that you're getting something out of this too. I really enjoy the idea that hopefully I can bring some value and some new information and a new point of view to something that, you know, we're getting a lot of traction with lately. A lot of people are interested, and there's a lot of information out there, and hopefully my input is helpful and maybe a little bit different perspective. So, and I'm definitely coming from it from someone who was ill, not someone who was overweight, you know, and that's a big difference. And boy, I sure have a lot of respect for you folks who do come here seeking, you know, to heal your lifelong obesity or anything like that, because this is a big step. You know, I wonder if I hadn't been unconscious on the floor with blood coming out of my butt, you know, if I ever would have made this jump. And so I have a ton of respect and a ton of respect is the way to put it. Admiration for all of you folks who give this a try, especially those of you who really don't have any of those, who are just coming from a health and wellness standpoint, because that takes a lot of, curiosity and intuition. And I'm just very, very, you know, impressed with all that. So anyways, thanks very much, everybody, for your continued follows and for following along. And you know, if you can help me grow this channel, it would be great. I really look forward to continuing to do this, hopefully on a weekly basis, and growing my interaction with you guys and sharing more info as I go. I know I'm kind of going over some of the same old ground here, but I think as we move down the road, hopefully I'll just continue to have more insights. So there's one thing I can tell you, one of my biggest takeaway from a year of this is observation is key. Don't overthink it. Trust the simplicity of the process. Eat meat and drink water. And trust the observations you can make on your own body and what's working best for you, rather than trying to measure macros or calories or do it right. You know, feel free to do it wrong if that's what works for you, but just listen and pay attention. So, yeah, okay. That's enough for this time, you guys. Thanks so much for watching, and I'll see you next week.